What I want to do again, if you have a few more minutes,
yes,
is just to talk to the private group like you did last time.
Ah, yeah, sure, sure.
And I'm thinking, you know, what would be the most relevant? And I think what you got into, why don't you share with them, first of all, what you found out about this methylene blue stuff
that you haven't,
and turpentine. And even if you haven't had time to do all your exploration and experiments yet,
my stuff is in the mail. I'm just ready. I've sent one to everybody that I love.
What stuff's in the mail?
Methylene blue. I bought a bunch.
Okay. So tell people about that, because almost no one has had any experience with that.
Sure, material. Sure. Happy to. Yeah, absolutely.
So what's methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Sounds like it's for the laundry.
Well, actually, it was for dyeing, as you can see, blue. It was for dyeing fabrics back in the 1800s. And then they found it to have properties that actually cured malaria. And that was sort of the beginning. And then they found that it works at a mitochondrial level. And then they started to make a correlation between the brain and the mitochondria, where there's more mitochondria in the brain than any other part of the body. And methylene blue tends to go towards the area that is in most need. So if you're in cognitive decline, autism, Alzheimer's, bipolar, schizophrenia.
That's really interesting that it does that.
It's crazy.
I mean, what in the world would make that happen?
Well, you know, God gives us all kinds of really cool stuff in our planet.
Yeah, it's almost like this is some kind of creation or something that we're living in.
But it makes sense that everything is here. You know, it makes sense.
We just
have to keep looking for it. And you never know where it's going to come from.
Okay, so that's the question. Where do they get that stuff? What's it made out of? What does it come from?
It's a chemical, like chlorine dioxide.
It's made in a lab.
Made in a lab. Yeah, it's not a natural thing that they found in a plant.
Right, right.
No.
You don't have methylene blue fruits that you can pick.
No, unfortunately, not like the acai berry and they make ice cream and they make, no, nothing like that. But this for me is, and again, I'm still talking too early, but I'm very excited by what I read. And like I said, I did a lot of reading on the internet before my book finally came.
Right.
And the way that Mark puts it into very layman's terms, which is wonderful. And then just, you know, points out, you know, for cancer, for autism, for migraines, for lower back, for healthier heart, arthritis, pain, chronic neuropathetic pain, surgical pain, targeting cellular mitochondria and autism.
Said it had an effect on the brain, right?
With the fact there's so much mitochondria in the brain, and that methylene blue goes right towards any mitochondria like in need. So the most in need is where it goes.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, the only thing that could be uncomfortable would be that you're letting go of too much nitric acid oxide, which is going to be part of this detox process. But like I said, you know, if nobody really seems to be using it low and slow, nobody really seems, and I'm sort of feeling this out a little bit. Nobody really seems to know much about it. There's a doctor who my friend went to and got an IV of this. So they do IV, they do pills, they do liquids.
Wow.
And so this doctor that she went to get the IV is sort of new doing it. And she doesn't really have doesn't really know. I can't say that she's, you know, like an expert on it, even though she's dabbling.
The dosage is really important. I mean, if you start putting something in your circulatory system, you kind of want to do the right amount. Right?
Exactly.
It's like chlorine dioxide in that they discovered
100%.
It was useful by mistake. And it was, instead of a water purifier, in this case, it was a dye.
Cheap as dirt.
Somebody ate some of it and noticed something happened, I guess.
Right. And I actually bought some powder online when I bought the book because I got all excited. And then, of course, the more I started to research, it was like, yeah, don't use that because then you don't know about the heavy metals. So there are better ones than others. And so that's what I've said.
So what about the heavy metals in the liquid form?
Supposedly they've taken them out. So they were able to take them out of the powder that they use a little bit for the liquid. And then you use liquid form.
Okay.
So kind of like chlorine dioxide. And the other thing that I think is also very exciting is turpentine, and not to be confused with the stuff from Home Depot, but I've seen some amazing results with autism. You name the disease. I've seen some really interesting stuff with turpentine. It's just one dose a day. It's not like you're not taking it every hour. You're not taking it all day long. You're just taking it one time a day. And it helps to get, it mostly, I think, is most important for candida and for parasites more than bacteria or virus, for example.
Now, that stuff is supposed to come from pine sap, right?
Exactly. That's why you want to use only the one that says 100% pure gum spirits. Otherwise, it could be the petroleum chemical.
Exactly. Compound. They could use petroleum derivatives to make it more effective, or is it cleaner or something like that.
Yeah, right. They have to distill it. That's what happens with the one that people are able to take. But it's coming from a tree. It's not coming from a chemical.
Have you gotten your liquid methylene blue yet for yourself?
It's coming.
You're waiting for it.
It's coming. I'm so excited. Yeah, I got one for, like I said, the people closest to me. I've sent one to everybody. So I'm interested to get some feedback from them as well. And then I have an appointment tomorrow with a doctor who is prescribing it to patients. It's from a compounding pharmacy in the United States. So
okay, we
will have a call tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that. So
do you have any idea yet of the better or worse sources to get it from?
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you tell us?
Sure. I will get to the link.
Okay, good. We'll put that in.
Yeah, because I got it from Mark. And then also there's this doctor out of Arizona who is doing, you have to do a consultation and everything, but she does Zoom consultations. And then you can get it from a compounding pharmacy, which, if you want to be really, really careful, is where it's coming from.
Well, I would have the same concerns as with chlorine dioxide. You don't want to get that from Amazon or...
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's why you want it to come from, you know, where people are using, or the same with the turpentine too. And you definitely want to be using it from places where people are taking it.
Because they would love to have somebody take turpentine that's full of chemicals and get killed or whatever.
Carrie Rivera said I should just go to Home Depot and buy.
Exactly.
No. And I'm
following. She asked me if I had a baby, we could pour it on, you know, it's terrible.
Exactly. And I'm following the work of Dr. Jennifer Daniels, who's been doing this for decades. And of course, before her, the interesting thing about turpentine, it goes back to the Bible. It's actually even mentioned in the Bible. So it's been around for at least 2,000 years that we know of.
How old is methylene blue?
1860.
Okay, relatively new.
Relatively new. Chlorine dioxide is like 1800s.
Something like chlorine dioxide. Yeah.
Yeah, that's from the 1880s, something like that.
So how do you figure out dosage on methylene blue?
I would just start with one drop twice a day and go up 20 days, one drop twice a day for an adult.
In a glass of water?
In a glass of water. Put it in juice.
One similar to chlorine dioxide is what you're
similar,
suggesting.
Yeah, you wouldn't put chlorine dioxide in juice, it would cancel it, but methylene blue goes well in juice.
Huh. One drop a day and then one drop more a day for 20
minutes. Can go one drop twice a day and then, you know, two drops twice a day and you can go up
and
to 20
are they suggesting
drops.
It's something you just keep using forever?
Kind of. There's really no reason not to use it since it's kind of like, you know, pro-health and, you know, a really good brain.
They're looking at it as a nutrient, basically, a super nutrient or something.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the antioxidant properties.
Wow.
Kind of nothing. It's kind of, there's nothing that it isn't good for. Pets can take it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really something like, you can see my.
Yeah.
I noticed, I mean, for methylene blue therapy for cancer, and it just talks about methylene blue exerts a catalytic power only on cells or tissues possessing aerobic glycolysis. But and it goes into detail. Mark does an amazing job, and I would say for anybody, you know, definitely go to his endalldisease.com. He's got 3 free books there, and I think he's got 4 or 5 books for sale. And he's going to be coming out with a new book, which he happens to mention, for about PUFA, which is that polyunsaturated fatty acids.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the one that does the science. I mean, he blew me away. I didn't know what he was talking about at that point, but he's like, no, avocado has this in it and olive oil has that. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, these are the foods that, like, if you would ask me 6 to 8 days ago, I would be like, that's the best stuff.
That's right. Billions of people are using that kind of stuff.
Well, what he was saying about olive oil, which I thought was very interesting, is in the olive oil industry, internationally speaking, they're allowed to put up to 49% other oils in the avocado oil.
Yeah, I saw that too. Right.
Which is absolutely
in the olive
disturbing.
Oil.
Very disturbing. Exactly. So that was one of the main reasons why, you know, olive oil was out, because you can't really even get olive oil.
It could be 5% olive oil.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's not good. And then he said avocado oil is also very bad because it's coming from the seed and there's this heat process. So there's oxidative process. So he basically said coconut oil or butter.
Yeah. Because the others also, there's a question of rancidity, right?
But yeah, all of the ones that are like flaxseed oil and those kind of oils, those are those omega sixes, and they're almost always rancid.
Which you can't easily tell.
You can't tell, but also cause inflammation in the body. So people that are chronically ill, they're going to have chronic inflammation also. So the last thing they need is a little bit more inflammatory properties in their foods. Right.
Neat. Well,
but that was a real, I mean, he was like, for me, a real can of worms. You know, I was like, oh, hey, methylene blue, but he's like so much more than methylene blue. He's a young guy, he's 37 years old. And he set out to find out why the cancer industry killed his mother when he was 12. So I think this is a little bit cathartic also for him, but he's definitely somebody you should interview. He's just great.
Is he some kind of doctor also?
He's not. He became a specialist in everything because he kept delving into.
He
did the work.
Where is he?
Canada. Lives in Canada, off the grid with his family.
Is he easy to get a hold of?
Very, very. I will give you his email actually.
Okay. But it sounds exciting. Yeah, I would have him on, of course.
He's brilliant.
It's an example of anybody. You don't need a degree.
No.
Everybody is a researcher. You might as well do a good job at it.
Well, especially people that have been affected. Like the cancer industry took his mother away from him at 12, you know, and he set out to find out why. Or my son, you know, I just knew that he was damaged by something happened. So you set out and you say, when like my friend, Dr. Roby Mitchell, rest in peace, he says, if you're not born with it, you don't have to die with it. So that really means like, let's set forth and look for answers. And especially with our children.
Stop with the incurable idea.
Right. Everything. There's an answer for everything.
If you firmly believe it's incurable, you can make it that way.
You're right. Exactly. If you think it's incurable, you're right. Because I see people too, like these trolls that they write stuff on internet and this and that. And I mean, they're like, oh, I'm a parent of an autistic kid and autism is great. Autism rocked. It's like, but this is actually a vaccine injury. Right.
Carrier Vera trying to take it away from us too.
Yeah. And some people, I think, you know, there's also that, what is that, Munchen by proxy, I think they call it, where parents actually find some sort of fame in their or sympathy or whatever from other people when their child is sick.
Wow.
They get attention. Maybe starved.
Other thing is that's something that parents are charged with when they have vaccine damage. And they're trying to make it into something the parents are doing.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, we took our children, you know, we drove the car, we walked the walk, and we gave our children, I guess. But if the industry didn't tell us that we had to do it and we had to fulfill this vaccine schedule, you have to get the stamping and the signature. They don't get into school or they don't get into whatever program you want them to get into.
People are trusting the system.
Also, but now I have people, for instance, I just had a consultation with a lady from Peru today, and she has a little baby. And I said, you know, so what am I going to do? And I said, well, why don't you just not go and get vaccinated? She said, they come to our house if we're not. And then she said, they will not be able to get into school. Like, there is no exception.
That's incredible. I mean,
they come to their house.
People think of these out of the way places in Peru as they must be really free, you know, because they're not in a big industrialized country.
No, they're not free either. It's actually, in some countries, it's even worse.
You know that the U.S. and other countries now are trying to hand over sovereignty to the WHO. You know about that?
Yeah, right? I know about that. They want to fly the WHO flag on top of the U.S. flag.
Yeah, so they want to do anything to you. They say, well, it's for your health.
Right, and we own your body, so you cannot have an option out of it.
Especially now that you're GMO.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know about the fields when any of their stuff gets on the other field, they start to sue the farmer who doesn't use their product.
Yeah, because it's stolen pollen or something. Like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
We're living an upside down world, Richard. I still, some days I wake up and I say, this doesn't even make sense. And like Mike Adams says, we live in we grew up in a meritocracy. You know, we're from this generation of, you know, the best, the brightest, the smartest, the fastest, the thinnest, the prettiest. I mean, these are the people that excelled in all of the competitions. Right. And now it's like, you know, the men are in women's sports and stuff that doesn't even make sense.
No, I know. It's really bizarre. But just like for individuals, you know, we don't want to get caught in the belief that it's incurable, whatever your disease is. If the world has this disease of insanity right now, we want to be careful not to assume it's incurable, even if it looks like it at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I think the U.S. is kind of like out in front, so far away. I was listening to why that was obviously a translation of Putin's speech to his people. And he actually said that the U.S. has fallen to the lowest possible moral code.
Putin's speeches have been great.
I was going to say, I mean, I didn't want to say that because I don't know how people feel about it. But I mean, it doesn't make sense that we're all like, oh, you know, I don't want to get into that part because I just, you know, don't want to destroy the message with the beliefs. But what he had to say about the U.S. was very true. I mean, a lot of people have lost their way. You know, there's a lot of this atheism and devil worship and some of these other really dark things that are going on. And they're okay with that. And now they're saying, you know, they're going to let children decide to have their genitals cut off and go through a change when they're children. Yet they can't drink until they're 21. They can't drive until they're 18. But they can choose the rest of their 80 years at age of four.
Or gender destroying chemicals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is some kind of disease. I don't know what it's called. General insanity. And I just want to hold on to the understanding that it's as curable as anything on the physical level. We just have to find the cure, and it would be good to do it really soon.
The sooner the better.
Yeah.
The sooner the better. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, I'm probably the end of the generation that grew up at the right time. I had a friend pass away. Well, they vaccinated her to death probably, but she passed away at Christmas Day this past year. And, you know, and she was telling me, oh, I have, you know, cancer in every organ and this and that. And you know, I told her she was 70, she would have 79 next month. Yeah. And I said, you know, you grew up at the best time. In between the wars, she traveled everywhere. She had this great life, you know, it was always full of peace and prosperity. Like you live the best time. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, what about these poor kids that are like, you know, I had a friend of mine, I've been helping with her daughter for a lot of years. And she's talking about the other two kids in her house and like how they're, you know, confused about gender because the school is telling them these things and social media is telling these things. I mean, can you imagine being confused about that basic thing when you're 14 or 15 years old? I mean, that's just the beginning of the end.
It was hard enough to be a kid without that.
Exactly. But can you imagine, like, am I a boy or girl? Well, kind of simple, but I guess not.
Yeah. There's about, a quarter of kids now have changed gender identity completely. And then later on, there's this huge suicide rate.
Of course.
So,
of course.
We need a natural cure.
Yeah. Well, I think if we would just all go back to basics, and, you know, like the meritocracy, exactly. The smartest get the place. And
that's normal because everybody's potentially meritorious if they just get in touch with who they are.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it's discouraging. I mean, I was watching this. I mean, I don't watch it, but I happened to see it on one of those social media things. And there was, you know, a woman, I think it was Governor DeSantis that recognized the woman swimmer who came in second after the man who swam as a woman, who identifies as a woman, who has male genitalia. Right. And he recognized the woman, you know, with female genitalia that came in second behind the man, that
as
she was
the winner.
As the winner, which was, I mean,
that's
finally,
that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really, it's like, wow, there's somebody out there doing okay. And he's got Floridians behind him, which is great. And I think there's other people around the country that are also excited about him as well.
Yeah. And there's some people running for office now that don't have political backgrounds. And we're starting to interview those guys and women. And some of them are actually sane and brave and insightful and inspiring. And I want to put a spotlight on those people as much as we can.
Let's pray to give them long life.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, a lot of them, they get suicided.
Yeah. And the ones that are really brave, they're just saying, well, there's no choice. There's a great lady running for Senate, I think, in Pennsylvania now. Kathy Barnett. And her mother was raped when she was 11. And everybody said, well, you have to get an abortion. Because, I mean, this is the situation where you do. And Kathy was saying, well, from her point of view, it wasn't a good idea. You know, she's really grateful that her mother said no, as an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And as a result, she has this great child that grew up and is now close friends with her mother and is running for Senate. And it's really brilliant. It's incredible. I mean,
that's a great story.
yeah, get a chance to see her videos. They're worth watching.
Wonderful. That's great. I hope that they're able to turn around. You know, we grew up at a different time. I mean, you and I are a little bit old, a different age, but we also grew up at a time where the U.S. was really a wonderful country. And there was a lot of good stuff happening. You know,
that's
there was
right.
a strong middle class we had. We had a lot of production. And yeah. then they, you know, Clinton and these other guys, they outsourced everything. They just sent it all away. You know,
There's no reason to hate the country. There's no reason for anybody to hate any country, because the country is not the psychopaths that have taken it over.
The
country is the good people and the natural right. environment, nature. That's still the country, and it's still incredibly beautiful.
How do we get people? How do we get the good people to lead us that we really want them to represent us? Because I think what's happening is the people that are in Congress and the people that are in Washington don't really represent we the people.
Not at all. They just ignore everybody. So the natural cure that we're looking for is going to have to reverse that situation.
Maybe I have to move back to the States and run for a public office.
I think it would be wonderful. Although, you know, I would.
Last too long, I don't think. But.
You'd need enough money for some really exceptional security. But anybody true. Good does.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true.
Uncorruptible.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, thank you for that.
Okay. Well, hold on and we'll say goodbye in the break and okay. hope you're back soon.
Thank you.